rejoice in all that the Lord has done, because it truly has been the Lord who has done it. And as I was praying about what would we share, what would we talk about, what would we offer as a charge to Genesis and to all of you who are going with the church. And so today I have in mind the community of Genesis who's here with us today. But what I'm going to say would apply to any Christian. So just know that in my mind, I'm looking at you guys. I'm looking at all of you who will be going and starting on a new adventure in a new place, a new location. Well, when the fire marshal gives the approval, right? But the Lord has had his hand upon what has happened here in this church. And so as I prayed about this, I thought about Samuel's address to the kingdom of Israel when they embarked on a new journey. They headed off into the monarchy, and this was Samuel's final message to the kingdom of Israel as their prophet before the next king was chosen. And I really felt like the Lord sort of caused a few things to come to mind that might be beneficial for both Genesis and for hope. So there's something in this passage I'm praying for the both of us. So we'll just read through verses 6 all the way through the end of the chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 6 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll pray together. Samuel said to the people, "The Lord is witness, who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous deeds of the Lord that he performed for you and for your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt and the Egyptians oppressed him, then your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers up out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, and he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them, and they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, that we may serve you.' And the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you lived in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. And now behold, the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. And if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Now therefore, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking for yourselves a king." So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all of the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask for ourselves a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all of this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we glorify your name here this morning through celebrating the birth of Genesis and the founding of a new church in this region, We ask that your name would truly be lifted high and that your greatness would be in our minds. And God, we pray for your encouragement. I ask that these words would be strength to our heart. It's a solemn warning that we see in this text. And Father, we ask that you would help us, that you would come and be present this morning as you already have been in our worship. But as we, as Hope and Genesis together, as one people, come before you to worship your name, to glorify your name, the desires of both of our hearts is to see the name of Jesus lifted high. I ask that you would help each one of us to have that passion in our hearts. And would you speak to us this morning? We pray through Jesus. Amen. There's some elements of this text that fit and some that don't. I'm just going to pull out the ones that do. Because I see in here such strong, encouraging words. These are Samuel's last words, so to speak, to Israel as they start off in a new kingdom, in a new direction by choosing a monarchy. It was a mistake in what they did. They chose to reject the Lord God from being their king and looked around at all the other nations and saw every other nation all around them had a king. We want to be like them. And so even in the midst of the mistake, even in the midst of the problem, God granted that they would be give them a king. He would grant them a new direction and had it in mind all along. If you go back into Deuteronomy, God gave Moses rules for what to do when you would establish a new king. So having a king was part of the plan. But evidently they jumped the gun and wanted this to happen a little too soon. But Samuel's words are just so encouraging to my heart. And I hope that they will be encouraging to you as well. I hope that they will be strength. We're not just here wasting our time filling up a time slot this morning. We earnestly hope that these words, I hope that, they would be strength to you, all of you who are about to set off on a new adventure, on a new journey, in a new place, with new goals and new dreams, and everything is fresh. And we know that the Lord will answer as he has in every case. You've prayed for a location. A location has been found. We're praying for seats and chairs that will satisfy the fire marshal. That'll happen. Praying for occupancy permits and all of those kind of things. It will come. We know that the Lord's hand is on all of the difficulties. And so don't be discouraged. There have been everything that is worth living for will be difficult at various points in time. So don't give up. That's an encouragement from the Lord. We cannot give up. And as I thought back about the discernment process that we went through as elders and as a church, we're yearning and looking for the Lord to show his hand. Is God's hand on Genesis? Should we plant Genesis as a church? Should Genesis be its own church? All of those questions that we were asking. One of the things that I was asking for was, God, will you please let me see your hand so clearly that I cannot deny it? And going each week, seeing, listening, I became convinced of that fact. And I'm still convinced of that fact to this day. And the Lord just granted me another confirmation even last week as at Genesis. You heard this morning there's going to be another baptism service. That means there's more people who are publicly committing to following Jesus Christ in their lives. That's fruit. We want to see lives changed. We want to see people willing to stand up and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. And last week was a looking back, so to speak, and sharing time at Genesis. And I'll mention that in a few minutes. But I again and again have seen God's hand upon all that has happened at Genesis. So a couple of things that we see here. We've gathered this morning together as one community. We're one people today, right now, worshiping the Lord at one time in one service. When we close this service, we'll be two different churches, worshiping in two different places, but worshiping one God. And when Samuel draws the attention of the children of Israel, one of the first words out of his mouth is, in verse 7, stand still, that I will plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous deeds of the Lord that he performed for you. Samuel says, we're standing before the Lord. That's exactly what we're doing today. We stand before the Lord our God, and we worship him, and we want to proclaim his name. We want to see the name of Jesus lifted high. So we come together, before the Lord as one people. And Samuel points them to the righteous deeds of the Lord, which he performed for you. God has done some things in some ways we probably would not have planned. But God has done this. God has brought about a church that's ready to be planted and stand on its own feet. This is the Lord's doing. It has sometimes been shocking in our eyes. It has been stressful. It has been difficult, but labor pains are difficult, are they not? We've often returned to that analogy of giving birth. And yet, when the birth comes about, what happens? Mom, you forget the pains pretty quickly when you see the little guy right there in your arms. And I pray that the planting of Genesis would be as sweet in the eyes of everyone from Hope this morning. Let it be that. Let it be sweet. So this is the Lord who has performed this. And then Samuel moves on and he recounts the past. He remembers all that the Lord has done in the past. He says, you remember Egypt, all the difficulties that were there? The Lord brought you out, both you and your fathers. So the looking back, he remembers and he says, don't forget where you've been. I would say, Genesis, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget the place that you were born. Don't forget who it was who prayed for you diligently. Remember what the Lord has done in the past. This is what happened last week at Genesis. It was a service of remembering, looking back, and sharing of God's blessings. And I heard again and again people sharing, this is what God has done in my life. Someone said, I'm committing to full-time mission work. And off she goes, very soon. Someone else said, I've struggled with so many things in my life, and I came to the edge of my bed and cried out to the Lord Jesus, will you please help me? And he did. Again and again, there were those kind of testimonies. God is at work. So personally, we can say, don't forget the faithfulness of the Lord in the past. Hope, all of us. And those of you here from Genesis, don't forget the faithfulness of the Lord to bring you to where you are. Look back with great fondness and say, the Lord brought us here. And then as we move on, verse 9 moves into a warning, which Samuel recounts that they forgot the Lord their God. In verse 9, and as a result, they were sold into the hands of their enemies. Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget why you do what you do. This is for Genesis. This is for Hope. We cannot forget who it is we worship and why we're here each week. It's not because we don't have anything better to do. This is the best thing we can do. We're here because we love the Lord Jesus and we want his name lifted high. But Genesis, don't forget the Lord. Cling to him with all of your heart. And as he moves on, what happens? Even Samuel points out the fact, when they forgot the Lord and he sold them into their hands, verse 10 says, they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned and we have forsaken the Lord and we've turned to the idols. So deliver us, Lord, so we can serve you. Genesis, remember one thing. The Lord God is a forgiving God. All of us need to remember that. Because when we fail, and we will fail. When we fail, will we stay down or will we repent and turn to a God who will forgive? Let us be quick to repent. When we make mistakes, let us return to a good and gracious God. And then he moves on and he says, the Lord then sent deliverers. He sent people to help you and to get you out of the hands of your enemies so that you could serve the Lord. There again, we must be freed first before we can worship the Lord our God. And he did that. He delivered them. He sent specific people. Samuel was among them. And then he says, you rejected your king. And when it was the Lord who was king over you. I would say to all of us, remember who your king is. Remember who you serve. We're not serving men. We're not serving people. We're not serving great names of organizations. It's not the glorification of our own names that we desire. It is the glorification of the King Jesus. Specifically, that is who we're serving. So don't forget the Lord Jesus. It's King Jesus we serve. And then, verse 13, behold, the King whom you have chosen, whom God has put over you, behold, he's with you. And that was another point that I looked for in confirmation of, does God have his hand on Genesis? And I asked the question, does God have his hand on Michael Davis as pastor? Has God called him to what he's been entrusted to? And the answer is yes. In my own perspective, I look at Michael and I see a man who's called by God to serve as pastor and has a heart for church planting. So I see God's hand upon Michael. He's not king, right? That's why I said part of these things, this text doesn't fit. We're talking about a king here, but we're just talking about a humble servant of the Lord. So pray for him. But do I believe Michael has been called by God in planting this church and qualified to lead through all that he's been through? And I say yes. I say God's hand is upon him. That doesn't mean we cease to pray. We will always pray. But God's hand is on Michael as the leader. So he goes on and he says, "If you will fear the Lord your God and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, you and your king, then it will be well with you. And if you do not, it will not be well with you." This is good for any church. Again, fear the Lord. Serve him, worship him, respect him, hold him in high reverence, high esteem, in awe of him. Fear the Lord. Serve him with all of your heart. Obey his voice, which means stay true to God's word. Preach the gospel. Life group leaders, some of you here, I see you. Preach God's word. Proclaim the truth in this word, because this is all that we have as a foundation. And if you do that, it will be well with you. And then we have the request of the people. In this point in the text, Samuel says, "I'm going to show you how wicked you are." And God proves it. And then the response in verse 19 is, all of the people humble themselves and say, "Will you please pray for us?" And I was reminded of Michael said that several times through all of this. He said, "Will you pray for Genesis? Will you just pray for us?" Friday night, I had a long day and got in at about midnight. And is my custom, I went into the kids' room and I knelt down on the floor and I was getting ready to pray for my kids. And I thought, man, it's been 4 or 5 days since I've done this. And I want to pray for my children every night. And I had to confess, "Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been praying for my kids." And these words came to my mind. Verse 23. Samuel says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." That's what led me to this text. I said, "Lord, I will not cease. If I will not cease to pray for my children, then as you are my help, I will not cease to pray for Genesis." If Genesis is, we can say, a child of this church at some measure, then hope, we have an awesome responsibility to continually, without ceasing, pray for Genesis. Samuel says it, and I hope you feel the weight of this. Samuel says, "I will not sin against Israel." No, he says, "I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for Israel." If this rings in your heart, you make a commitment today. Okay, I will pray for Genesis. I will pray for them earnestly. And write it down. If you can say, This is no trivial thing. I pray for my children every day. Can we pray for Genesis every day? And I'm asking you, if you make that commitment, hope, I'm begging you, I'm asking you to consider it, then write it down and say, "I will pray for Genesis." And then do so, because I don't want to cease to pray for Genesis. So I'll finish. Michael gets to share with you too. But I just leave you with a few words. Do not be afraid. Do not turn aside from following the Lord. Serve him with all of your heart. And do not turn aside to empty things. Don't look at the culture around you to get your standards. Don't look at other churches around you to figure out how you're going to do things. Look to the Lord with all of your heart. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. As Michael shared the other night, in the beginning, Genesis kind of latched onto Isaiah 26:8, which says, "Your name and your renown, O Lord, are the desire of our heart." Let that be true, Genesis. Let every one of you pray that. Let the desire of your heart be his glory and his renown through the name of Jesus. because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. And I think the Lord did that here. It pleased the Lord to bless you, to grow. You know, some plant, some water, others hoe and weed, but who gives the growth? The Lord Jesus gives the growth. The fruit, the growth comes from the Lord. So the Lord's hand has been upon Genesis. Now, just fear the Lord. Serve him faithfully with all of your heart. And consider what great things he has done. Let's pray. Father, you've done great things. Continue to do them. Guard Genesis. Guard Michael. And God, may the growth that we have seen continue. May it abound 100-fold. In your name, Jesus, and for your glory, we do all of this. Amen. Michael.
Thanks, Todd. Been thinking a lot about the word. This is ascending service, and hope is the sender, and Genesis is the sendee, so to speak. What does it mean to be sent? I would guess that all of us at some point in our time have been sent to do something, to say something, to go somewhere. So think maybe to past week. Did someone send you to go accomplish something, to go do something? Wives, if you're thinking, I did send my husband, and he didn't really follow through on what I sent him to do, to say, to speak. Typically, when we think about sending, we have a choice. Well, I don't really like what they're sending me to do, and I don't really like that person, so I'm not going to go and do what they've asked me to do. As I've been thinking about sending, that Genesis, we are being sent. The Bible is full of men and women who have been sent by God. God is a God who sends. Starting all the way in the first chapters of Genesis, all the way through till Revelation. Starting with Adam, he was sent by God. He was given a mission to Noah, to Abraham, to Joseph, to Moses, to King David, to the prophets, to Samuel that Todd just spoke of, to the disciples, to Jesus himself, the greatest missionary ever. 39 times alone, just in the Gospel of John, it says, Jesus says, I have been sent by God. And in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says in the ultimate sending passage, as the Father has sent me, and he looks to a room full of scared disciples who have abandoned, deserted, denied him, he looks to these men, and he says, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. Just thinking about the disciples a lot this past week, of when they were initially called by Jesus, they were called to be with Jesus. And this was, you know, not a remarkable class of individuals that Jesus called. These were fishermen, and in that culture, in that time, in that society, they were not the most impressive individuals. Jesus did not call the A team. He didn't even call a B team. This would have been the team of guys who didn't make the cut somewhere else. And Jesus came to them and said, follow me. And then they started following Jesus, and they start watching Jesus impact people. They see Jesus teaching, and his teaching comes with power and authority, and it's impacting people. Then they see Jesus start healing people. People who were blind are now seeing. People who could not walk are now walking. People who were dead are being raised back to life. They continue just to see Jesus do these things. And I wonder if there was a point in time where they started to wonder, huh, we're following and we're watching, we're paying attention, we're listening. I wonder if there's going to come a point where someone asks the question, do I get to do that? When will we get to do what Jesus does? The teaching and the healing, casting out demons. There had to be a point where they were thinking, when do we get to move from just watching, observing, learning, following, to participating, getting in the game. And in Mark chapter 6, Jesus gets them in the game. And he sends them two by two. And Jesus is sending, commissioning to them is, go, you have authority in my name to teach, to heal, to cast out demons. And it's in Mark chapter 6, verse 42, that says this, Mark 6, verse 12. They were sent out and they preached that people should repent. Interesting message. If you're going to try to win some people towards God, their message that they preached, that they proclaimed, that they declared was repent. Stop walking that way away from God. Stop walking and living a life of sin and turn towards God. Where did they come up with this idea? Let's start with this message of repentance. That's what Jesus preached. That's what John the Baptist preached. I bring that up. They watched well. They paid attention. And so the first words that come out of their mouth is, we don't really know what to say, so we'll just tell people to repent and see how that goes. And it went well. They went out and they continued in Mark chapter 6, verse 12. They were sent out, preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed. I would have liked to see the first crack, like the first disciple who said, let me take a swing at this and see how this goes. I'm not sure if you've ever been in that situation where there is a person who is demon-possessed, and you stepped up to the plate and say, I got this one covered. I bet it was probably Peter. Probably Peter stepped up to the plate first and was like, let's see what happens. And people were getting, demons were getting cast out. And then they go and they begin to heal people. Why? Because they saw Jesus heal people. They were praying and putting their hands on people, and people were getting healed. They watched, they were with Jesus, they followed Jesus, and then Jesus said to them, it's time for you to go. And he sent them to be players, to participate, not just sit on the bench. And they came back from their first sending, and they rejoiced, not in themselves, of Jesus. You should have seen how Peter just took a swing at that demon and he ran. You should have seen this person who was completely messed up and they were healed. They rejoiced in the work that God had done with them and through them. So Genesis, as we consider what it means to be sent, I just want you to remember that God is a sending God and he has sent us with a mission. And our mission is to be with Christ and to be like Christ. You just heard Todd say that. So if you're here and part of Hope, part of Genesis, be with Christ. If you haven't made that commitment to follow Jesus, make that decision today to follow Jesus and be with him. Because if we're not with him, we've got nothing to say. We've got no power. We've got no authority. We have no influence. We'll have no impact. Be with Jesus. And listen to those words that Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you to go and be like Christ, to do what Christ did, to love like Christ loved, to heal like Christ healed, to pray like Jesus prayed. That is our mission, to be like Christ in a world that is in desperate need of people who are committed to following and being with Jesus and being like Jesus. They were commissioned with a message. So we not only are being sent on mission, we are being sent and we have a message to proclaim. And the message is just simply Jesus Christ is alive. And because Jesus is alive, I can be alive both now and forever. Sins completely forgiven. This is the good news. The early church, they got this. It's in Acts chapter 6, verse 20, where they were being persecuted. It wasn't going well. People were just getting killed. It just wasn't working, but they stood in the very same place where they were being persecuted and proclaimed the full message of this new life that they had found in Jesus. We have a message to speak. We have a message to tell. We have a message to proclaim. We are sent by God to be with God, to be like Jesus, and to proclaim the message that Jesus came to live and to die and to rise again. One of my favorite things about when Jesus went back to be with the Father is he reminded them of this amazing promise and when he sent them again. In Matthew chapter 28, it says this, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Okay? We have a green light. God has said it's not yellow, it's not red, you don't have to wonder about this. The light turned green. It's time for us to go. And I'm not just talking about Genesis leaving this place. I'm talking about us as Christians going, being people who are sent on mission with a message. He says, Jesus, therefore go, make disciples of all nations. I can only imagine they were thinking, like, when he said all, like, did he just mean like our little town here? He told this group of 11, and there were some more surrounding them, go change the world. Go make disciples, help other people find God and follow God. Go everywhere. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything. Not just certain things, not just convenient things, not just easy things, but teach them to obey everything that is written for us in God's Word. And then Jesus says this, Genesis, I want you to hear this as well as hope, but we have been sent on mission, we've been sent with a message, and we've been sent with a promise. Verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're not abandoned, as Todd was talking about. We're not left alone. Hope, you will be with us by praying for us and coming alongside us in the so many ways that you already have, and you will continue to encourage and support and invest. But the greater promise in being sent by God to be with God, to be like God, to be on mission, to speak the message, is that we go with a promise, and the promise is this. You're not alone. We don't do this by ourselves in our own strength, in our own power, in our own authority, our own talents, abilities. We do this with a promise that Jesus spoke to us and said, I'm with you. No matter where you go, I'm there. I am with you. Forever, no matter what you do or don't do, I will be faithful and committed to being with you. So Genesis, as we consider what it means to be sent, we are sent on mission to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus. And we are sent with a message. Proclaim the message of this new life, the full message of this new life. And please never forget that we don't do this by ourselves. Jesus himself has said, I am with you. Not just next week, not just 2 months from now, 2 years from now. I am with you until I come back for you. Sent by God to be like God to a world and a culture that is in desperate need of people who are committed to following and being like Jesus. Sent with a message and sent with a promise. Todd was mentioning earlier and challenging hope to pray for Genesis. And I hope that will do that because we need it. We need a lot of it. This is a brand new thing. It's hard enough planting a church, but it's a totally different animal planting a church here in New England in a culture that is very antagonistic against Christians, against churches. We've already come up against opposition, and I fully expect that opposition will continue to come. So I ask and just humbly would beg that you would continue to pray for us. And I wanted to give you something very specific. So as you pray, and Todd actually mentioned this, one of my favorite passages in the is in the book of Acts chapter 11. And this is, for hope, our sending church, what I would be asking that you would be praying for Genesis very specifically. There's two guys specifically. As they were being sent out and going to different places, there was two individuals who said, you know what, the Jews need to hear the message of the gospel, but we want to go after the Greeks. The Greeks were very influential in culture, and they wanted to go to take the message of Jesus Christ to a culture and a community that was very hostile towards that. They wanted to go to the Greeks, because if you influence the Greeks, you begin to influence culture in a brand new way. And so they go to the Greeks in Antioch. And this is what happened. Men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch, and they began to speak to the Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Would you pray that God, and Todd already articulated this, that God's hand would just be all over us. Not just kind of on us, but like smothering us. So as you pray and as God would place this new church on your heart, God, put your hand upon them. Lead them, guide them, provide for them. And when God's hand is on us, all over us, something phenomenal happened. People were coming to Jesus. People were saying, I'm not living that way anymore. I'm not walking that way. I'm not choosing sin. I'm choosing Jesus. Why? Not because this people was a phenomenal group of people. They preached the message and God's hand was on them and people were getting saved. People were coming to know that there is life and life eternal in Jesus. That's the first thing I would ask you to pray. Pray for God's hand upon us. The story goes on in Acts chapter 11. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, and he saw evidence of the grace of God. I'll just stop there. When he saw evidence of the grace of God, he was so blessed and encouraged that God's hand was there, that there was evidence of God at work in this thing happening in Antioch. So much so that the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Because a bunch of Greeks didn't know what to call them. They were a different type of citizen. They were a different type of people. They look like Jesus. They're acting like Jesus. They're teaching like Jesus. They're healing like Jesus. Why don't we just call them Christ ones? Christians. That's where they were first called Christians. Why? There was just the grace of God was on them and was just with them, and things were happening. So please pray that God's hand would be on us, with us, leading us, guiding, protecting, all over us. And would you please pray that there would just be continued evidence of God's grace in our midst. As I was thinking about Genesis, how can we pray for our sending church? The thing that just kept coming to mind again and again, and this is a challenge to the elders here at Hope Church and a challenge to Hope Church. Our prayer for you moving forward is that you do it again. Do it again. Start thinking about, when are we going to plant another church? There might be people here from Hope Church in this room that God is already preparing you and calling you to step into that time and that moment when God would say, I want you to be part of planting this church in this city over here. Be a church that will continue to plant churches. Ask God that He would raise up men and women to be part of a brand new church, a brand new thing, so that we together, Genesis and Hope, can continue planting churches all over this region. That is our prayer for you. I know we could pray for many things, but one specific thing is that you'll do it again. We are so blessed to be on the receiving end of being sent, supported, blessed, commissioned by Hope Church. But please do it again. Be thinking about where God is at work and how you are to respond and the next place that you are to send another community of people. As the story goes on in Acts chapter 13, I was given 15 minutes to speak, and I never speak in 15 minutes. Typically, it's about an hour, so according to my watch, I got about 45 minutes. Just kidding. As soon as this happened in Antioch, God's hand, God's favor, God's grace, people are getting saved, lives are getting changed, people repent and come to Jesus. This is what happened. Barnabas and Saul are there, and the church of Antioch, they became a sending church. They were prophets and teachers, and Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, and some others. While they were there worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. Do it again. Just do it again. Let's plant as many churches as God would allow us and permit us to plant so that we continue to love this community and love this culture that God has strategically placed us in. Pray for us that God's hand would be on us, and that evidence of God's grace would be just over anything and everything that he's doing in our midst. And our prayer for you, our sending church, is that you would do it again. And we will rejoice with you as you would plant more churches, not for the glory of and the banner of Hope Christian Church, but for the glory of God. I will finish. I was thinking about how do we say thank you? How does Genesis say thank you to Hope Christian Church for years of supporting us as a community? There were ideas floated around. I thought we could give you gift cards to Chipotle, and but that was shot down quickly. And we were just trying to think of ideas of, I don't know, something, and we got nothing. So I don't have a present here to give you or a plaque or there was ideas. We could give them a rock as a symbol or as a sign, you know, put the rock. That didn't, you know, we didn't want to give you a rock. So as we were thinking about what can we give Hope Church as a way to say thanks for everything that you have done for us. As Todd mentioned to you, this is the place where it all started. This is the place where we were born, to use that metaphor. And it started with just my wife and I, and bless you, I think three or four other people who showed up at a Bible study at Barnes & Noble. And then from there, God's hand just kept leading. God's hand just kept providing. We moved from Barnes to my living room. My living room can only hold a certain amount of people, so we got kicked out of there, and we moved to the basement of the church here, and it just kept going from there. You guys have just been phenomenal at coming alongside us, encouraging us, supporting us, blessing us. And so the best way that I can say thank you on behalf of Genesis is for you to know that lives are getting changed. You know, next Sunday, for our very first service as a church, it's going to be on a beach. I hope you like that. But we're going to be there because more people, as Todd mentioned, want to stand and declare, I love Jesus and I'm following him. You guys, Hope Church, God has used Hope Church to change lives. People have come to God for the very first time. People have come back to God after wandering and straying, kind of like the prodigal. People are learning and growing, and lives are getting changed. People are living out their faith, and now people are sharing their faith and responding to the challenge, the charge, to say, I want to be a sent one. I want to be part of a new thing of planting a brand new church. So the best way that I can say thank you and that Genesis can say thank you is just for you to be encouraged with the truth and the reality that lives are getting changed. And we say thank you for that. I appreciate that. more of a personal thank you, certainly to Hope. I've been here. It's odd. This was my, I think, my first Sunday 5 years ago. My wife and I moved here from Chicago 5 years ago, and I actually think this Sunday or next Sunday was the very first Sunday that I came to Hope Church. And for 5 years, you guys have loved me, encouraged me, support. That's a really small glass of water. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Hope, you guys have, as a family, have been incredible to me personally and to my family. So thank you for supporting us. Thank you for extending a call from the Midwest to come here and be part of what God is doing. Specific thanks to the elders for putting up with me and encouraging me, supporting me, giving me freedom to grow, to learn, to make mistakes, and through it all, just continuing to say, we're sticking with you. Even though you do some crazy things sometimes, we love you, and we are going to continue to support you. So thank you for the elders for how you have just come alongside me these past 5 years and given me an opportunity to grow. I have two more. This is not like an acceptance speech, but I have two more things I want to say thank you for. To Genesis, thanks for stepping out in faith. So it's not an easy thing what you guys are stepping into in terms of planting a church, but if I had a bigger glass of water, I'd be okay. But Genesis, thanks for taking a step of faith and stepping into something that is a bit unknown, but we step into with a great promise that God's with us. So thanks for stepping out in faith and stepping into God's call. Okay. Thank you. Wow. Okay. My I wanted to thank Kyla. I was somewhere around 12 years ago that I asked Kyla not just to marry me, but the way I phrased it was to walk the water with me. So thank you for walking the water. I'm going to try to pray, and then I'm going to walk off. Wow, you are great. Thank you. Father God, we give you thanks that you are a God who sends. You are a God who loves, a God who cares, a God who draws us so close to your heart, and you've done that through your son, Jesus. God, I thank you for this community of Hope Christian Church, how they have loved, how they have supported and encouraged and invested in this brand new thing called Genesis. So God, I just ask that your hand of favor, your hand of blessing, your grace would be amongst these people here. And God, I do pray that you would use them as you have today and in years past. God, use them again. Raise up more men and women from this community who would be sent by you, supported by them, to plant more churches. God, I give thanks for the great work you have done in our midst. And God, we are convinced, all of us are convinced, that you are not done yet. And so we say thank you that you are a God who is at work, who is active, and invites us to participate with you on mission to reach people, to love people, to serve people. So God, would you bless this new thing that you are doing? Would your hand be on us, all over us, all the time? And God, would there just be continued evidence of your grace in our midst so that when people would come and they would meet people, they would just see your grace there. God, I pray that all of us would be excellent at being with you. And we give you thanks that you choose sinful people yet redeemed to be sent by you on mission with a message, with a great promise that says, I am with you. We give you thanks in all of these things, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for bearing with me through that.
Jesus told his disciples to, as often as they're together, would remember his sacrifice by sharing in the bread and the wine. And so we want to remember what Jesus has done, but also it's an expression of our unity as one family coming together and sharing a meal, which symbolizes the one way that we all have access to God through Jesus Christ, through his offering of his body and his blood. So we want, Michael and I are going to serve each other first, and then we're going to invite all of you guys to come at a station that would be near you. There's several around the front here. So after we pray together, we'll just invite you to come when you sense that you're ready. And if you're a disciple of Christ, you love Jesus and you're trusting in him, then you're welcome to come. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian or a follower of Jesus, then we'd ask that you would just remain seated and consider what Jesus has done, because it's through his offering of his body that we have been united to Christ and to God. So we ask that you would prayerfully consider and prepare your heart even now, and then we'll ask you to join us in a moment.